All right, good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here. As you can tell, this is kind of my first time standing before a big crowd in a church giving a lesson, so I am quite nervous but excited. A big disclaimer, though, the illustrations I have used are from my childhood, like movies I've watched, so if you don't get it, I'm sorry. But but I want to start out with a big question. Who tells you who you are? In a culture saturated with voices, social media likes, peer opinions, academic performance, athletic success, physical appearance, and past failures, whose voice ultimately defines your identity and worth. So I have finished my first 2 years at Freed, and during my first 2 years, I honestly lost myself instead of growing. I got caught up comparing my behind-the-scenes struggles to everyone else's highlight reels. My identity in Christ started slipping. I didn't feel worthy enough to lead, to serve, or if I was me then, I wouldn't even be worthy enough to stand here tonight. But God, in His kindness, gave me an opportunity to work with the basketball team there, which I'm extremely grateful of. Through that experience, I started to feel seen and acknowledged again. That team made me feel like I truly mattered again. Slowly, I began to rediscover that my worth wasn't rooted in what I could produce, but in what God, but in the God who created me. So going back to our big question, tonight I want to give you the answer that has changed my life and can change yours. Your identity and worth come from the God who created you. So my main idea is God created every person with purpose, value, and intention. Our worth comes from Him, not from what others think, how talented we are, or how we compare to others. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So let's start with something simple but powerful. So, I mean, I forgot the $1 bill that I was supposed to bring, but if I had a $1 bill and if I crumbled it up, stepped on it, or threw it on the ground, would it lose its value? Of course it wouldn't. Its worth is determined by the authority that created it and backs it, the United States Treasury. In the same way, our value does not evaporate because mistakes we make, rejections we face, insecurities we battle, or harsh words spoken over us. Our worth is anchored in the one who fearfully and wonderfully made us. When human artists craft fictional characters, they often infuse them with pieces of their own personality and creativity. A great example of this is the great Stan Lee, breathing life and into countless Marvel heroes. He would give these characters human flaws, real-world problems, and deeply personal traits that make them highly relatable. He would even throw in things that he went through and have his characters deal with the same thing. Yet in an infinitely greater way, the eternal God created humanity differently from every other part of creation. The Bible reveals this, that He intentionally made us in His image. So I want to read a few passages of Scripture. First is Genesis 1, verses 26 through 27. And it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female." Again, we're going to turn to another one, is Psalms 8, verses 3 through 6. And it says, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is in man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you care for him. Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet." And the next is Psalm 139, 13 through 16. And it says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. And later on in the New Testament, Paul echoes this in Ephesians 2:10 by saying, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus from good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So if you're taking notes, my first point I want to talk about is God made you on purpose, meaning nothing is an accident. Nothing about you is random. The God who hung the stars and carved the oceans knitted you together with care. Genesis 1:26 verses 27 tells us that we are made in God's image. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before your first breath, God already knew your laugh, your dreams, your personality quirks, your strengths, and even the areas you'd struggle. He didn't make a generic human. He made you. Being made in God's image does not mean that God physically looks like us. It means God created us with qualities that reflect him. The ability to think and reason, the ability to choose right from wrong, the ability to love and care for others, creativity and imagination, the ability to have a relationship with him. Of everything God created, only humans are described as being made in his image and given this sacred description. Nothing about your life is random or accidental. As Psalm 139 states, God formed your inward parts and knitted you together in the womb. He saw your unformed substance and wrote everything of your days in his book. From day one, God knew your personality, your gifts, your appearance, your strengths, even your weaknesses and struggles. Many today wonder in confusion about their identity. Much like Buzz Lightyear in the opening of Toy Story, Buzz was convinced he was a genuine space ranger on a heroic mission. His confusion about who he truly was kept him from living out his real purpose until he embraced the truth. In the same way, the Bible cuts through our confusion. Our value and identity are rooted in being intentionally created by God in his image. They are not determined by popularity contests, athletic achievements, academic success, or curated social media profiles. God himself also declared that we matter. Also, I know Andrew will like this. Think of the Lion King. Young Simba runs away and tries to forget who he is. He lives like a carefree Hakuna Matata lion until Rafiki reminds him, you are more than what you have become. Remember who you are. Simba looks in the water, sees his father's face, and hears Mufasa's voice. You are my son and the one true king. In that moment, Simba remembered who he really was. Everything changed after that. The same is true for you. When you remember you belong to the King of Kings, you stop living beneath your God-given identity. God knew every detail about your life before you were born. Your differences aren't a mistake. They're part of his masterpiece. Point two is comparison steals joy. One of the biggest thieves of joy today is comparison, especially through social media. We see everyone's highlight reel and think, why don't I measure up? But God doesn't make copies, he makes originals. Comparison is like trying to be a photocopy when God designed you as a one-of-a-kind painting. Remember Woody in Toy Story. When Buzz Lightyear shows up, Woody fills your place. Buzz is shiny, has a laser, and gets all the attention. Woody starts comparing and losing his confidence. His problem, it wasn't that he lost value, it's that he forgot it. The turning point, Woody looks at the bottom of his boot and sees Andy. He belongs to Andy, and that changes everything. We do the same thing. We compare our ordinary moments to someone else's spotlight. But your value isn't being the coolest, smartest, funniest, or most followed. Your value comes from the one whose name is written in your life. Which, my illustration that I gave to some of the guys at first week of camp was Woody's identity was found on the sole of his boot, but our identity is found in our soul that God gave us. So scripture actually backs this up in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. And it says, Not that we dare classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. Paul basically in this passage warns us that comparing ourselves to others is very unwise. Point three is God's opinion matters most. So many of us feel ordinary, overlooked, insignificant, or unimportant, much like young Luke Skywalker at the beginning of the Star Wars A New Hope, who was simply a farmer boy on a remote desert planet, unaware of the extraordinary destiny that lay before him. God sees beyond our present circumstances to the greater purpose he has designed. Moses felt inadequate in Exodus 4, and Judges 6, Gideon felt insignificant, and David was overlooked by his own family, yet God used each of them mightily because they trusted God's opinion over their own. God's opinion is the only one that ultimately matters. The world measures our value by popularity, performance, appearance, and accomplishments. The world values you based off of all those, but God values because you are his. God made you. You have worth, you have purpose, and you are loved with everlasting love. Even in your worst moment, God's love doesn't disappear. Chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. I will read that here. It says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So this passage basically promises that nothing can separate us from his love in Christ Jesus. So I want you to kind of picture a sports jersey or something like that, and you have the player's name on the back. That has value because of the name that's on the back of the jersey. A good example that I kind of think of is Vanderbilt's tight end, Eli Stowers. Obviously, his last name was on the back of the jersey, but he also had hashtag Team Jesus with him everywhere he went. So he knew it wasn't about his own fame. It was about him representing something greater. In the same way, we are worthy to wear the name of Jesus because of what he has done. Your identity is not earned by perfect performance. It is received by grace. Isaiah 43, verse 1 says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." So think about Kung Fu Panda for a second. It's a movie about a panda that kind of just learns that he's a dragon warrior. But Po is a clumsy, noodle-loving panda that everyone, including himself, thinks is completely unqualified. The other warriors laugh at him. He feels out of place and worthless. But Master Oogway and later Master Shifu sees something different. Oogway declares that Po is the dragon warrior not because of what Po has done, but because of the master's sovereign choice. By the end, Po steps into his identity not by becoming like the others, but by embracing who he was created to be. The master's opinion changed everything. Another powerful movie example is The Greatest Showman. The characters in the circus are rejected by society because they're too different. But P.T. Barnum gives them a place where their uniqueness becomes their strength. One of the most memorable songs says, "This is me." They stop hiding and celebrate who they are. That's what God invites you into. Stop trying to be someone else. Embrace the "this is me" that God created. And that's exactly how it works with God. The world may see your flaws, your ordinary background, your past failures. They might even call you a freak due to it. But God, the Master, looks at you and says, "You are mine. You are chosen. You are valuable." His opinion is the only one that ultimately matters. So in conclusion, Psalms 139 tells us we were created by God. Genesis 1 tells us we were created in his image. But the gospel shows us that the depth of that love, that while we were still sinners, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. Romans 5, verse 8 states, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So your worth is not only declared in creation, it is sealed at the cross. Look at the cross tonight and hear the voice of God shouting over every insecurity, every failure, and every comparison. You are worth pursuing. You are worth redeeming. You are deeply and eternally loved. Just as God met me in my lowest moments during those first 2 years at Freed, when I felt worthless and lost in comparison, and restored my identity through simple opportunities like serving the basketball team, he stands ready to do the same for you right now. You are not an accident. You are not a mistake. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by the creator of the universe, and he calls you his own. So takeaway that I want to give is God does not make mistakes. He made you on purpose for a purpose. Let this truth sink deep into your heart and change how you live this week. This week, I challenge you to, one, thank God daily for something he created in you. Two, stop comparing yourself to others. Three, encourage someone you come into contact with by pointing out a gift you see in them. And four, remember that your identity comes from God and not from other people's opinions. You belong to the King of Kings. Now walk in that freedom. Live like someone who knows exactly whose you are. Now let's stand together and sing.